Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Hello, today's interview is on a topic we've all heard so much about, customer centricity. Pundits credit the success of companies like Amazon and Nordstrom to being customer-centric, but my guest today is going to challenge those myths and provide a different perspective on what customer centricity really means. Peter Fader is a professor of marketing at the Wharton School of University of Pennsylvania and the author of the book, Customer Centricity. A mutual colleague introduced me to Peter, and I've enjoyed learning from his expertise, which centers around the analysis of behavioral data to understand and forecast customer shopping and purchase activities. And I really enjoyed his book. So it's my pleasure to welcome you, Peter. Thank you for being here today.
Great to talk to you, Denise.
Okay, so let's start with how you define customer centricity, and how does that differ from the way others understand it?
The best way to define customer centricity is to say what it isn't, and that's the idea of super-duper customer service. So there are some companies out there that just bend over backwards. So we might be thinking about a Nordstrom's or a Zappos to do anything for the customer. The customer is always right. That's not being very customer-centric. Customer centricity says, let's find who the most valuable customers are, and let's do everything for them, super-duper service and more than that. But for the other customers, we're glad to have their business, but it's going to be more on our terms than theirs.
That is very different, because I think that perhaps there's a confusion between being customer-friendly and being truly customer-centric.
That's right. And you'll notice it a lot when you go into a store like a Nordstrom's. They treat everybody wonderfully well. And as a marketing expert, I look at that and say, they're wasting their time. They're wasting resources. They're wasting the talent of some of their employees on some really, really light customers who just aren't worth much and aren't ever going to be worth much. And they'd be better off rolling out the red carpet for really valuable customers who are basically forced to wait in line for some of that really good service.
So that sounds like there's a real opportunity cost. Like if you try to treat everyone well, you end up not treating your best customers the way that they should be, or the way that you would want them to be.
That's right. It's an opportunity cost for the really good customers who have to wait and don't necessarily get the treatment they deserve. But it's more than just that. It's a whole strategic orientation. Is the whole purpose of the company about service, or is it about more or less customer segmentation? I'm much more for the latter. Let's figure out who's valuable, who's not. Let's organize and create incentives all around those kinds of issues, as opposed to being just truly and almost exclusively a service-oriented firm.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a definitely difference between service and maximizing value, it sounds like. What are some of the common challenges that organizations face in implementing the kind of customer centricity strategy that you're talking about?
In many cases, the biggest challenge facing them is history, this long tradition of being product-centric, that we're all in it to develop great new products. We're going to organize everything around products. Our incentive scheme, the metrics that we use are very much product-oriented. So there's a lot of baggage to go against. And in many cases, the product-centric approach is still the right way to go. So a big challenge is first to figure out, should you be customer-centric or not? And then if so, then it's a matter of kind of putting aside a lot of those product-centric mindsets and really organizing around the different kinds of customers, the really valuable ones, the not quite as valuable ones, changing the incentive systems, the performance metrics, even what you do for R&D. Instead of just saying, what are we good at and what should we do next? We should be saying, who are the really good customers and what kinds of products and services should we develop with them in mind? So a number of different challenges, and the vast number and nature of these challenges is often enough for companies to not even want to go down this path in the first place.
Hmm. So I guess that's what you're talking about in terms of you should decide whether you should be customer-centric or not. It kind of sounds like, why wouldn't you make that decision?
So before making that decision, I first want companies to be really well-informed. So it goes back to our first point about just what does it mean to be customer-centric. So for many companies, it doesn't even make sense. But I still want them to make an educated decision. I want them to really think through all of the upsides as well as these downsides that we've touched on to say if, when, how would they go in that direction. So that's the first thing is just should we do it or not. And I'm not necessarily an advocate for customer centricity. I'm not saying that it makes sense for everybody. But it again, does make sense for everybody to at least know what they're talking about.
Now, I guess, you know, it's interesting to hear you talk about this because I think I come from a different point of view where I'm much more of a brand building person. And so I actually would say, you know, you might get yourself into trouble by trying to figure out who are your valuable customers and what do they want versus kind of leaning into your strength as a company and your strength as a brand and your equity as a brand and saying, you know, we really need to build that and then find the customers who value that. So it seems like there's a real, you know, pretty big difference. And in your book, you definitely differentiate between growing with your brand and your brand equity versus growing via customer equity. So can you say more about that? Maybe explain a little bit more of the differentiation and examples?
Of course. So first of all, it starts with the two words that any academic hates the most, which is, of course, it depends. So we really want to understand what are the natures of companies or industries that should be focused more on the idea of customer centricity and measurements such as customer equity versus those who should continue to stay focused on their brand and the product orientation that goes along with it. So, for instance, in the case of, say, a Coca-Cola, where it's next to impossible for them to be able to track individual users and to be able to segment on behavior and so on, that's a company that should continue to put its brand first and foremost and grow through the brand. Whereas a lot of service firms that have a lot of direct contact with customers, let's say telecommunications or financial services, I would contend that being able to come up with appropriate customer segments and really focus on who are the valuable ones and do all the measurement around that, understand the lifetime value of each and every customer and add that up to the point of a customer equity, in many cases that might be the better way to build. Not to suggest that they should let go of the brand. It's very important to use branding as a way to create and extract the value from those customers. But it wouldn't necessarily be job one, as it is for so many companies today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It also strikes me, I guess I'm kind of blending these last two points that we've been talking about, that companies that have the infrastructure and the ability to invest in the infrastructure in order to collect and manage the customer data to be customer centric. I mean, there's that requirement there. I think like maybe smaller companies or companies who just aren't at a point where they can make that investment, that's a limitation for them in terms of trying to become customer centric. Was that a fair
you
statement?
You hit the nail on the head. That being able to develop a good customer relationship management system, in a similar way, being able to develop and implement a good loyalty program, those are absolute requirements for being customer-centric, but by no means are they guarantees. So there's too many companies out there that say, if we build this data warehouse, if we roll out this loyalty program, then all that customer-centric goodness is going to come to us, and it's not that easy, which is, of course, one of the reasons why most companies look at CRM as an utter disaster. It's because it's not enough just to kind of jam a flag in the ground and say we're customer-centric now. So part of my goal is to recognize that it is very valuable to have good systems in place, but not nearly enough. And it really it's the other kinds of issues I mentioned, everything from the organizational design, the incentive schemes, just the priorities that a company places on what kind of R&D it's going to do. All of that matters so much more when those things are being done right, then the CRM and the loyalty program, they fit much more naturally. They make much more sense. You can start to see the value instead of saying, what the heck do we do with this?
Right.
So in many ways, I want to kind of wipe out the bad history that so many companies have had with CRM. These were product-centric companies hoping that it would be magic fairy dust to help them cope with the changing times. But it's much more difficult than that. And it's going to take a long, long time because of all the inertia that product centricity has created for most companies.
Right, right. Well, Peter, this has been really enlightening. Thank you for sharing all these great insights. And I really encourage my listeners to get Peter's book because he goes into these topics in more detail, but is not a difficult read at all. I think that it's something that's very digestible and very provocative. Now, my listeners, also, if you are interested in continuing the dialogue with Peter, he can be reached via email at faderp@wharton.upenn.edu or through Twitter. Peter, your Twitter handle is at faderp, right?
That's correct.
All right. Well, Peter, thanks for kind of setting the record straight on customer centricity, and I look forward to hearing feedback to this interview. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks very much, Denise.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.